Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O
Lord. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. In the synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In this first week of Ordinary Time, the Church is teaching us how we should be living our Christian ordinary life. Today, we see the way we should be approaching Jesus' words. Jesus stunned the people in the synagogue in Capernaum with his authority. He taught unlike the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees would always teach citing the Torah. There's a verse that says, there's a chapter that says, once Moses said. Jesus was never citing. But there was another reason behind that. The scribes and the Pharisees often were not practicing what they were teaching. Jesus was. So Jesus could say, as we would hear him on the Sermon on the Mount, "You've heard that it was said to you in these other parts of sacred scripture, but I say to you," and call us to a high standard, call us to the inside, because he was not only practicing what he was teaching, he was the very word. He is the very truth he was enunciating. And that was totally new. They recognized there was a power in his words. The letter to the Hebrews would say, the word of God is like a double-edged sword, separating bone from marrow, the smallest little articulations within us. That was the power of the word of God. If that is supposed to happen when we read the word, imagine what would happen when Jesus was saying the word for the first time. They could feel that lance separating them from their vanity, that lance separating them from their pride, that sword separating them from the threefold concupiscence. But Jesus' word was even more amazing than that. Jesus would show often in the synagogue as he was announcing the word of God the real power of the word he was saying. Jesus' word was not just informative, giving us information about God, teaching us about something else, but it was performative. It actually would make things happen. We see it here. When he says to the demon, "Quiet, come out of him," the demon with a loud scream that convulsed the possessed man came out. Jesus would work miracles in the synagogue. He'd say, same synagogue in Capernaum, to a man with palsy limbs, "Stretch out your hand." And the power for the cure was in those very words. It's through Jesus' word that all of creation was made. When he said, "Fiat lux," there was light. When he said, "Let us make man in our own image, male and female, he created them," we were there. That's the power of Jesus' word. The problem for us as Christians, and what the Church wants us to ponder on this first week of Ordinary Time, the way we're supposed to be listening to the Lord Jesus in life, is with absolute astonishment. The problem is that a lot of the times we lose the astonishment. And it's a particularly severe concern for daily Mass goers, because daily Mass goers hear the Word of God every year over and over and over and over again, that we can finish the sentence sometimes. We know exactly what's going to be said. We've been there, done that before. It's kind of like watching a thriller on television that we've already seen four or five times. We know the scenes that are coming, and we lose the mood that we had the first time we were watching with tremendous suspense. And so we've got to counteract that. How do we do it and maintain the astonishment at what Jesus is saying? The great saints have always said that we can't. It's not just enough to listen to sacred scripture. It's not just enough to read and study sacred scripture. But we really have to pray sacred scripture and enter into the scene. There are two main styles of prayerfully meditating on sacred scripture. One of St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits. The other of the great Benedictine saints over the course of time. Today I'll teach you just very simply St. Ignatius' style, which he called a recomposition of time and place. That we literally put ourselves into the scene. We enter into the synagogue here in Capernaum. And we start to look, what do the walls look like? What do the structures look like? If we've been there before, it's easier. If we've never been there before, we can use our imagination. We can even do a little bit of homework. Start to see Jesus come on up to the place where the scroll was unrolled. And we hear Jesus read those words. Did Jesus have a high voice like this? Did Jesus have a very low voice like this? We begin to imagine Jesus actually speaking. We start to look around us as everybody seated on the floor and standing start to say, who is this guy? Start to be filled with that astonishment as Jesus is speaking in a different way. We begin to hear the terrible screams of that demon-possessed man. If we're right next to that possessed man, what's our reaction? Are we scared out of our underpants at the presence of the devil? Are we afraid of just getting hit as this guy's shrieking around? What's his voice sound like as the demons speak through him? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. We look quickly to Jesus' face as everybody else in that synagogue is freaking out because of the presence of that demonized man. Jesus is totally calm. And then he says, quiet. Come out of him. What's going on inside of us as we see that live? Then all of a sudden this man goes into all types of convulsions. You think that he's probably dying. And all of a sudden he's calm. He's totally free. And what happens in that synagogue? What does the person next to you say to you? What do you say to the person astride you? The more we literally enter into these scenes, we become eyewitnesses of the scenes, the easier it is always to retain that authority, that sense of astonishment at Jesus' authority. Over the course of every life, we meet certain people who astonish us. We read certain things that astonish us. For me, when I was younger, listening to the tapes of Scott Hahn, I was always astonished and couldn't listen to him fast enough. When I started to get the retreat tapes of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, I would listen to him over and over again. Couldn't get enough. When I was over in Italy, I used to read, devour the Italian homilies of Father Raniero Cantalamessa. I then started to get to St. John Chrysostom and St. Augustine and read all of their works. When I started to teach the faith, I couldn't get enough of Peter Kraft in his books, and I read them one after another, and some of the times over and over again. We've probably all had that experience with some authors, but more than anything, it's supposed to be our approach to sacred scripture, our approach to Jesus' constant word. Every single day, Jesus speaks to us in sacred scripture. The fathers of the Second Vatican Council taught us that when the sacred scriptures are proclaimed at Mass, it is Jesus Christ live speaking to us. That's why we stand at the gospel, because we're standing because Jesus is about to announce his holy word. That's why we pray at the beginning, may the Lord be in my mind, on my lips, and in my heart, so that we might recognize that it's Jesus, be filled with that astonishment, love it from the heart, and let that love and that wisdom he's going to impart flow out from just astonishment, so that we can go, you'll never believe what I heard today, to others. That should be our response to the Word of God. That's where he speaks authoritatively first, but we see his putting into practice the real power of his word when he hijacks a Lowell accent or a Taunton accent and says, this is my body. This is the chalice of my blood. Today, as we approach here, let us approach with the piety of Hannah from the first reading, praying to the Lord for the miracle that will change us, a miracle far greater than what happened to this demonized man. As the word through whom all creation was made totally changes simple bread and wine into himself and then comes within us. Let us say what was said in the Capernaum Synagogue. I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Please help me never to lose the astonishment I should have in your presence. Amen.